Bwana asifiwe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Kuna wengine hatujaonana kama harusi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. I want to welcome all of you, and it is so happy to see so many of us having braved a lot of mud. You waded through the mud, and you are here seated in the house of the Lord this morning. Kwa wageni wetu ambao ni mara yetu ya kwanza kuingia mahali hapa, karibuni katika nyumba ya Bwana. Hapa tunaitwa Grace Hill Mission Church. Tunapenda wageni. Oh, tunaitwa Grace Hill Mission Church Northlands. Kuna mtu ameniongezea pale, which is very good. Kwa sababu kuna makanisa mengine yanaitwa Grace Hill Mission Church. Particularly we are Grace Hill Mission Church Northlands. Tunapenda wageni. Na kwa wageni wetu tunawaambia, in this place, God writes beautiful stories. We mean it because we have seen it. Tumeona watu wakibadilishwa, tumeona watoto wakibadilika, tumeona watu wa kila aina wakibadilika wakiwa pahali hapa. Na sio kwa sababu ya vile sisi tunaweza tenda, bali ni kwa sababu Mungu ambao anafanya kazi ndani yetu, he is in the business, ama ako katika kazi ya kubadilisha maisha na kuandika hadithi za kubadilisha watu. So God writes beautiful stories. Na tungependa kuwakaribisha sana. Ikiwa wewe ni mgeni, ujisikie ukiwa katika nyumba baba yako. This is your father's house and you are completely welcome, feel at home. Salamu kutoka kwa Pastor Kings. Today, this morning, he is ministering in Kisii University, and we continue praying with him that the Lord is going to use him to do great and accomplish great things in that university, in the life of that young man and young women. Tutaendelea kumuombea. Na unapopata hata wewe, unapopata nafasi ya kuminister out there, kindly just notify us. Let us stand with you, because this we do believe that in Grace Hill Mission Church, God is using us to write beautiful stories, not only here, lakini hata uko nje. Mungu anatutumia kuandika hadithi za ajabu, na Mungu akikupatia nafasi ya kuhudumu kwa watoto, because some of us, wengi wetu tuliokoka tukiwa wanafunzi, na wengi wetu tena tukawa wahubiri wa wanafunzi. Kwa hivyo tunapoketi pahali hapa, I know we have a lot of potential. We have international preachers here. We have preachers that are going all the around universities and going around secondary schools and being used with by God to do great things. So when you get an opportunity, just notify me. Let us stand with you in prayer, because we are part of one family. So much about that. I want to welcome us back again. All right. Shall we give thanks for the offering? Thank you, my wife, for reminding me. Tutashukuru kwa sababu ya sadaka. Shall we give thanks? Our God and our Father, we thank you so much for giving to us so much that we are able to get deep into our pockets and give back to you part of what you've given to us. We take it with thanksgiving that it is an opportunity to co-work with you. Lord, when we see the kind of work that you are accomplishing through the finances, through the resources that you've given to us, we are but completely indebted to you, saying that even what we have, everything that we have is all yours. And we pray that what we have given to you, Lord, we give not because of abundance, but because of choice. Because we have chosen to co-work with you to do great things. We therefore commit this offering into your hands, that you may use it to change lives. You may use it to write beautiful stories in our community, in our membership, and wherever we are. even far and wide we pray that we are going to be partners that are true and faithful to the gospel that you are calling us to preach, and we are going to be there standing with missionaries, standing with missionaries who are out there serving you. And Father, that is why we give unto your treasury this morning. We ask for your blessings upon us, and that God, you may increase us in all what we do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Having done all that now, I think I am good to go. And we continue with the series that we started last, we introduced last Sunday. And the series is entitled, Break Out, God's Army Advancing. God's Army Advancing. And we have had a good year last year as we looked at the theme of God's Army Rising. And for sure, God has helped us to rise to a great level. And now he is calling us, inviting us to advance, advancing together with us. And he is calling us to partake of this great and an awesome. All right, Bob, give it here. Weka hapa. Thank you. God bless you. You are blessed. All right, thank you, Bob. You realize we have a very open policy for our children because we want to learn. We want them to learn how to serve God. We want them to serve in everything. So this is why you see, we are not so conscious telling them, sit down, do this, do this. We want them to get used to what we do as a family. I was saying, last year we have had a great time. Rising in the army of God. And now this year, he is calling us to advance from where we have been. For sure, we have risen to some level. We are now ready to advance. Our theme verse, just for a reminder, is Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. And because this is of great importance, allow me to read, and we will keep reading and rereading this, sometimes in different versions. This morning, allow me to read our theme verse, and I'm going to read using Common English Bible. I'm going to read as it is, one, and then secondly, we are going to read substituting a few things. And it says, verse 13 of Micah chapter 2. The one who breaks out will go before them. They will break out and pass through the gates. They will leave it. They will pass on. Their king before them, the Lord at their head. Praise the Lord. And now let me read the same thing again. We read now, and where there is the third, now I'm not a very good walimu wa Kiingereza. Is this when we talk about them, what I don't even know how to, they are not the third persons, I mean. Okay, we are going to substitute where there is the third persons, and we are going to put ourselves as the first person. So where it's talking about them, we're going to be reading as us. Where there it is talking about, we're going to substitute theirs or their God with our. And it, now we are going to read. The one who breaks out, go before us. We will break out and pass through the gate. We will leave it. We will pass on. Our king goes before us. The Lord at our head, or the Lord is ahead of us. That is a theme verse for this year. And I want to beseech you, kindly take it into your heart. Memorize it. Commit yourself to memorize this, that the Lord is breaking out. He is inviting us to follow. He is inviting us. Last week, we started this verse, exposing this verse with the topic or the title for last week, which was Envision This. The Lord is leading a breakout, or the breakout is being led by the Lord. And I want to continue building it up from there, reminding us again, we do not only have a theme verse, we have a theme song. Theme song which goes, God is marching us on. Can you remember? God is marching us on. He is leading the way. We have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to close. But before us we can see an open door. Let's sing again. God is marching us on. God is marching us on. He is leading the way to places we've never gone before. We have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to close. But before us, let's sing now confidently. God is marching us. God is marching. He is leading the way. To places we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to close. But before us, can see and open. How I long that everyone will envision this, that God is marching us on. God is calling us to break the camp from where we have been, that we may advance to places, to levels that we have not been before. As a church, as a congregation, as an individual, God is marching us on. He is inviting you to go to places that we have not gone before. There are mountains to climb. Yes, we must acknowledge there will be mountains. The way may not be very smooth. It may not be smooth all the way. There are valleys to close. There are all kinds of challenges. But the sure thing is, before us, we can see an open door. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Envision the open door that is before you. And that way, we are going to keep our focus to the open doors. And you know, through our introduction, there are three things that we build on. Number one, we said that for us to advance from where we are, we've got to discern the direction that God is going. We've got to open our eyes to see opportunities. We've got to open our ears to hear opportunities. We've got to be discerning to see and answer the question, what direction is God going? What direction is God moving? And then, after we discern, he also invites us to follow without buts. He is inviting us to follow on the direction that he is going. We follow wholeheartedly. Not saying, but this, but the other, but the other. And then he is also inviting us to contend for the gates. The Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail. We've got to fight. We've got to contend for the gates. Now, the topic for this morning is broken to worship. Broken to worship. That is our topic for this morning. And I want to start by reading a verse that we have. I am sure many of us have sat and this verse has been preached many a times. I want to read Exodus chapter 9 and verse 1. It states very, very clearly the purpose for the breakout. Remember, our theme is, our topic for this season is breakout. And this verse states very clearly the purpose for what we ought to break out. So chapter 9 and verse 1 of Exodus says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh." I am very tempted to say Pharaoh because that is how it reads anyway. And that is how I was brought up, being told this word is Pharaoh. But when I grew up, they told me it's Pharaoh. So go to Pharaoh and say to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they can worship me." That is NIV. It says, it states very clearly the purpose of the breakout. The Lord is breaking walls. He is breaking gates for one reason: for the people of God to worship him. And examining this, the breakout is all about him. The purpose for which he is inviting us to partake this in this breakout is purely because of him. It is all about worshiping him. So broken to worship. When we talk about breaking, we remember the Lord has been talking about an army. We've been talking about God's army, and this time we continue talking about God's army advancing, reminding every one of us that indeed we are soldiers in that army. We have been recruited, we've been enlisted to fight together with God, to see the direction he is taking his own battle, and that we may fight therein. And therefore, I want to remind us that this battle is not ours. This battle belongs to the Lord. The master defines his battles, and we have been called to partake therein. When we talk about breaking, I think what comes to mind very easily for me, I know maybe a number of you have heard me talk about this, breaking of a horse. Now, a horse is one powerful animal. A horse has been domesticated for many, many centuries. But let us remember, a horse is an animal. Essentially, it ought to be in the wild. And even today, as a horse is born, there is a time that you cannot use that horse for your own in your own ways. I mean, you cannot use it for your own pleasure until a time that the horse is broken. What do we mean by saying breaking a horse? This refers to the process by human beings to get a horse to let themselves be ridden, or to harness a horse to a rideable status. So before such a process is accomplished, a horse will normally reject any attempt to ride it. I'm sure those of you who watch movies, you have watched in a movie or in scripts out there, when somebody tries to ride a horse and inasimama kwa miguu, inakuturura hapo, kuturura is another word for kuangusha. So inakuonolia hapo chini. And Mwarim, when we talk about, you know, a horse, it is, you know, unajaribu kupanda, inasimama, inakuangusha hapo nyuma. That is always the way that a horse that is not broken will behave.
Ama inakimbia ikikurusharusha mpaka finally unaanguka.
That is a horse that is not broken. But it is taken through a process. And this process breaks a horse. And it is not breaking a horse physically. It breaks a horse inside to a spirit that is willing to cooperate with its master, to a spirit that is willing to be used for the glory of someone else. So a horse that is broken has its primary interest in pleasing its master. And the Lord this morning is calling and inviting us to come willing to be broken before Him, or to be broken by Him, that we may worship Him. So a horse that is broken lives its life for its master. Its greatest achievement is its master's glory. With all its majesty, with all its might, with all its power, it is all subjected to the master and his glory. Reminds me of a song that we used to sing many times. And because Haniel had already led us in singing a song in my mother tongue, I wouldn't want to sing another one or to lead us singing in another one, because we are largely a very cosmopolitan church, and we wouldn't want to go to do it otherwise. But a song that we used to sing, and I think the only song that my wife learned in Kikuyu and gets very, very excited about it. She does not sing most Kikuyu song like I do, but there is a song that she loves so much. Whenever I sing it, she gets very excited, and it says, I have been chosen to give praises to God, or to give praises to Jesus, as the trumpet that is good, as a fit trumpet, as a fitting trumpet, but the one that blows that trumpet is the Spirit of God. And the singer continues and says, and therefore, blessed is me. I am like the horse, I am like the donkey that carried Jesus Christ as he entered Jerusalem. And it enjoyed when the Lord, when the people are singing, blessed be the one that comes in the name of the Lord. The horse was also there. Praise be to the name of the Lord. And the singer sang and continues and singing and saying that I am like that horse. When the Lord is being praised, I am also enjoying. When the people are spreading their clothes, when people are spreading twigs on the road, I am the one stepping on those ones. And the singer sang and said, blessed is I. That is a horse that is broken, knowing that indeed I am all for the glory and for the praise of my master. We have talked about breaking of a horse. Let us also remember that we have been enlisted as soldiers. We have been enlisted into the service of the King. And this process also will require breaking. I do not see any one of us who I cannot, not in my knowledge, of a person who has gone through the enlisting of the soldiers. But let me tell you, and we all know, when you get enlisted, there you have to go through a time of breaking. And in the human being, in breaking a human being, nothing is assumed. Sahi, by the way, I'm told this week, I think the coming week, there will be enlisting of cadets in the Kenya Defense Forces. So if you are interested, kindly, you can check at the mainstream media. If you are interested and you would want to be enlisted in KDF, they are being enlisted. But even then, those of us who may be interested, when you get out there, you are enlisted, your name appears there, you must be prepared to go through a time of breaking. When people or human beings are taken through the process of breaking, nothing is assumed. And this is why when you join the army, you've got to learn even the very basic things. You know, basic things like how to walk. Can you imagine when you go to the army, they assume wewe haujui hata kutembea. So you start right, left, right, left. I mean, ni nani hajui kutembea? But for you to be broken, nothing is assumed. So you spend hours and hours running to walk right. Can you imagine that you are a whole adult, 32 teeth. Somebody is teaching you how to left, right, left, right, left, right, for a day, another one, a week, and another one. Nothing is assumed. As if that is not enough, they won't even to train you how to shave your hair. I mean, they've got nothing is assumed. And as if that is not enough, you are told this is how you brush your shoes. This is how you iron your clothes. Nothing is assumed. In fact, you are taught this is how to eat. For what reason? They do not want to assume anything. You've got to be broken. Sometimes the process of breaking is not easy. Because you have things that you have learned, ambao ume assume, I know how to walk. But kumbe, all along, you've been walking in a certain posture. You know, like some of us who have been to school, we know what we call the academic angle of inclination, you know? Kisoma sana, there is an angle that you used to walk in. And if you cannot be allowed to carry that when you have been enlisted into the army. Imagine you being taught how to make a bed. Adult, the way you are, vile ulivyo, you are being taught this is how you make a bed. The process of being broken. The Lord is telling us that you come to be broken. The purpose for breaking is that you may worship Him. And what is worship? I know. Tunapoongea juu ya worship, what comes to people's mind? Ukisimama pale ulize people as they go to church or they come in, what is worship? You know, they will tell you there are 5-20 minutes that we take before we start our service or at the beginning of our service. We've got a period where we just go before God and worship. When we talk about worship, that is mainly what comes into people's minds. But I want us to learn a different thing. That worship is the recognition of the worship of the Lord. How worth is the Lord, the master of our souls? How worthy is He before us or in our spirits? How worthy is He? Is He more to you than all that you have? Is He more to you than all that you are? Is He to you more than all that you can ever be? Remembering a song that a singer sang and saying that you are all that matters. That is the truth of that is a true worshiper. Saying that many things may look like they matter, but to me, you are all that matter. That is worship. As I looked at definitions and people who have talked about worship, I couldn't miss. And I want you to listen to what Archbishop William Temple talked about. He said that worship is the submission of our whole nature to God. So worship is not the songs that we sing. Worship is not the songs that James will come here and play in a certain temple, telling you that you drag the song. No, it is not. Worship is the submission of our whole nature to God. Number one, I have talked about the submission of the whole nature. Number two, he says that worship
is the quickening of our conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of our minds by His truth, the purity, the purifying of our imagination by His beauty, the opening of our hearts to His love, and the submission of our will to His purpose. Brethren, I couldn't get the more fitting definition about worship. It is about submission of our whole self, the quickening of our conscience to His, by His holiness, and the nourishment of our mind by His truth, purifying of our imaginations by the beauty, and finally, the submission of His will, of our will to His purpose. Called to worship, or the Lord is breaking us that we may worship Him. For many years, we have got Christians who are so strong in their will that the Lord cannot come into their lives and cannot mess into their lives. They are who they are. They do what they want. They think what they want. They go where they want. That is not a Christian who is broken. But the Lord wants us to be broken that we may worship Him. True worship consists of three things that I would want to point out to us. Number one, a heart that is truly desiring to worship God hungers and thirsts after Him. So our hunger and our thirst for God depicts in us a worshiper, a true worshiper. So worship, or true worship, takes place when all that we are is fully engaged with all that God is. Please take time to note the wording of that sentence, that a true worship takes place when all that we are is fully engaged in all God is. When we subject all that we are, all that we have, and we give it willingly, having been broken, having been subjecting ourselves fully to Him, so all that we are is fully engaged to what He is. Brethren, the Lord is inviting us into a people, to become a people where God is at the center of our lives. A God-centered life. What does it mean to you? Apart from the hunger, apart from the thirst for Him. I came across a challenging question by a writer called John Piper. And he is asking, I want to ask you the same. If you could have all that you dream of, would it be fulfilling? By all that you dream of in this world, he means, if you could have a happy marriage, healthy children, successful career, good friends, fun vacations, comfortable retirement, a beautiful retirement home overlooking the ocean, a promise of a painless death, and you have no hell to think about, would you be fulfilled? Would you be fulfilled? Would you? Because many people, and including Christians of nowadays, they are only going for that. Look for how happy is my marriage? How healthy are my children? How successful am I in my career? What good friends do I have? My vacations and all that. Would you be fulfilled if all that you dream of would be fulfilled? And I would want to ask it differently. That question by John Piper reminded me of something that I know many of us have come through this analogy, a very interesting one, that every graduate, every young man and young woman dreams of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who can remember those things? Number one, it was one wife. Eh? What? One wife, two cars, three bedroom house, four wheel drive, 5 acre of land, and a 6-digit monthly salary. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dream. If we had that, would you be fulfilled? Would you be fulfilled? And if you can say yes, it shows how unbroken you are in relation to God. Every true and genuine believer would answer with an emphatic no. I would not be fulfilled because I must have God at the center of my life. I can do nothing without Him. No fulfillment without God at the center of my life. For every true believer, thirsts and hunger for God, not for the things of this world. It's A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God. And I would really recommend that you take time to, if you ever come across that book, please read that book. I think my wife may be thinking I have never read another book, because I keep referring to this book every now and then, In the Pursuit of God. And I have found it to be out of this world. It is him who says, A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God, warns us about the kind of religion where Christ could be received without creating any special love for him in the soul of the receiver. He says that a person can become a Christian, can become born again, and goes on without any thirst or without any hunger for a true relationship with God. He says that is the biggest detriment of the church of the Christianity, or of the Christianity today. He says, how can you say that we have received the Lord and it doesn't create in us a true thirst and a true hunger for Him, for the Lord, for the Master of our souls? How do we go about saying we are born again and yet we have no special love for Him? May the Lord help us, the Church of Jesus Christ today. Brethren, when I look at us, when I look at the Church of Jesus Christ today, I see what A.W. Tozer is calling the biggest predicament of our church today is having Christians who have no special love for their God. That the only thing that remained is that saying, praise the Lord, I am born again, I'm going to heaven. Yet we have no special love. We have no special attachment for Him who has died for us. When we talk about true worship, apart from the hunger, apart from the thirst for God, one among the things that we ought to say, or we ought to, number two, among the things that we ought to do and to be, is a loving people who loves God for who He is. Many of us love God, but just like the world, we have become lovers of God for what He gives to us. God-centered love means loving God for who He is. When worship becomes an overflow of our joy and delight in Jesus Christ, it becomes an overflow that you have walked with Him, He is inviting us to walk through this. He is saying, remember our theme verse is saying that the Lord is leading the breakthrough. He is leading the breakout. Are you willing to follow? And when you follow, you encounter him as he is. And do you love him for who he is, apart from what he has given to you? When we talk about loving human beings to human beings, I think the biggest illustration that can ever be given is the illustration of marriage. Can you imagine if you are a young man? Oh, it doesn't matter whether you are young or old. And your wife is being asked, why did you marry this guy? And she can't comfortably say, oh boy, mimi kwetu kulikuwa kubaya. I was looking for an escape route. Baba yangu alikuwa mbaya, mama yangu alikuwa mbaya. I couldn't stomach them anymore. I just decided to get married to this young man because via vile kwetu kulikuwa. Can you imagine a young man being asked, why did you marry this lady? And saying, you know, wakati nilikuwa kijana, nilikuwa na madeni mingi sana. Nikatafuta yule dame ako na tupesa, ndio anisaidie kulipa deni. Brethren, if your wife, I'm avoiding to call people by name and ask them how they would feel. That your wife just says one thing that made me marry this guy is because of what he has. We will all despise a marriage that is based on that. But how many times that have we even confessed and said that for me, I got born again. I enlisted myself into this so that I may not go to hell. So that my life would be better. So that my life would be or may not be. Yet the Lord is calling us to love him until, you know, for who he is, not what he can do. A number of us, like I have said, may say, I came to Jesus that I may not go to hell. I came to Jesus that I may enjoy what he has and what he gives to his people. But the Lord is reminding us that we get broken, that we can love him so much, that we can worship him with all that we are for what that he is. In the book of Isaiah chapter 57, says, pour down his holiness and his being high and exalted. His name is holy. He is clothed in splendor and majesty. He is in majesty. He is wrapped in light. So worship God for who he is. He is inviting us to get deeper, to know him as he is, that you may worship him not because of what he has given to you. When we hear the Lord talk about himself, he talks about, I live in a holy and a high place. But it is not just up. He is not just up there, high and a holy place. But he says, he lives with those who are contrite and lowly of spirit. Brokenness is not a destination, my brother. Before we get to see the Lord breaking doors and walls out there, he's got to start with us. He is calling us. He is inviting us that we may be broken, that we may be completely broken to worship him as he is. In Psalms chapter 51 and verse 16, he says, I do not desire sacrifice. But a sacrifice to God is of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Remember what he tells David. He says, if I was hungry, would I come to you? He says, cattle on a thousand hills are all mine. But also, he says that he desires a sacrifice from us, a sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And he is inviting us. He is inviting us to take part in what, in who he is, in brokenness. Brokenness comes when we allow God. This is my third point, that brokenness, true brokenness, comes when we allow God to rebuke us through our lives. Remember what he called when David, in the book of 2 Samuel, David is rebuked by the prophet of God, and he is told, you are the man. Can you allow the Lord to break you to that level when he is telling you, you are that man? That is true spirit of worship. And as I come to an end, the Lord is inviting us to walk through this breakthrough, breakout. But we've got to be the ones who are broken first and foremost. For he says, I dwell also with the one who is of a contrite and a lowly spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. The Lord is inviting us. He wants to revive you when you are lowly and of a contrite heart. Can you follow with an expecting heart? A heart that expects personal revival. A heart that gives true worship to the Lord out of a contrite and a broken spirit. And we are being invited to walk with God through the breakout. But we've got to be broken first and foremost to give to him a true worship. Worship that comes from deep within us. So he's inviting us to come along. But before we come along, we've got to be broken, to completely yield to him. And what is this invitation? He's inviting us to appear to have lost. Jesus says that he who loses his life will gain it. But he who gains his life, he who keeps his life, will lose it. Ultimately, would you lose all your sorrows? Would you drown all your cares? Would you plunge into the Godhead deepest sea of worthiness? And would you be lost in his greatness and in his glory? This is what he desires of you. He desires that you may lose all your sorrows, that you may want to drown all your cares and plunge in as you look at the big out of the greatest of his worth, of his endless worthiness. The Lord is worthy. It is only when we go to him in worship that we will yield to him. So brethren, if you can say yes, that you are willing to lose all your sorrows, you are willing to lose all your greatest achievements, all your cares, even as you look into the greatest and the deepest sea of endless worth. If you can say yes to him, then you will be invited as a soldier to advance in the call of achieving his purpose.